Paul Meacham, Jr.
We're delighted that you've decided to join us today for this period of Bible study. And let me encourage you to take your Bible and open it to 1 Timothy chapter 3 as we begin our study today. The question reads this way: Is it advisable to appoint some men to hold offices as leaders of the church? If so, what should the qualifications for them be? This is a good question. In fact, these are two very good questions. Should we appoint men to hold positions of leadership in the church, and what should be their qualifications? Well, first of all, if we were left to decide for ourselves what qualifications leaders in the church should have, that would be a very difficult task, and great division would be caused in the church. In fact, much of the division that exists in the denominational world today had its origin in disputes over how the church should be governed, how it should be organized. And once man left God's pattern for those questions, then he opened himself to all kinds of dispute and conflict. In fact, he created a continual conflict that can be and is constantly stirred by man's pride and ego, one man wanting to be greater in the eyes of men than another. Now, fortunately for those of us who want to do things God's way, God has answered the question. It's always that way. Whenever a question is a serious and important question, God has provided the answer for us. Those of us who want to obey Him, who want to do what's right, need only turn to His Word, read it, learn it, accept it, and obey it. We do not have to answer these questions for ourselves, because the Bible has provided the answer. The Bible refers to bishops, elders, pastors, presbyters, and all of these are titles that refer to the same office in the church. I know that there are many who separate these titles among various offices and various tasks and various degrees of authority in denominations. But in the Bible, speaking of the Lord's church, all of these titles refer to the same office. That can easily be seen by reading from Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17 and going down through verse 30. I will not take the time to read all of those verses, but I would like to read some of the key verses where these terms occur. First of all, Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. We see there from Miletus, he. And the he in this particular verse is the Apostle Paul. He sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Now, the Greek word that is translated elders in this verse is the word presbyteros. Our English word of presbyter comes from this. And this word literally means one who is older or an elder, and hence its translation in this particular verse, that Paul had called for the elders. We then see that they meet him there in Miletus, and he talks to them, and this is really his farewell speech to them, for he is traveling on his way to Jerusalem and does not know if he will ever see them again. We see then in verse 28, as he is beginning to close this speech that he makes to them, he says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves." And this again is still addressing those elders that he had called to gather with him there. He tells them to take heed to themselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The Greek word translated overseer there, the Holy Spirit had made these men overseers. That Greek word is the word episkopos, and you might recognize the word episcopal as coming from that. Our English word bishop also comes from this word, and it does mean one who is an overseer. Now notice there also he told them to shepherd or to feed the flock. This is the word poimen. We often get the word pastor from this. All of these terms referred to the same men who fulfilled the same office there in the church at Ephesus. We understand from this that the Bible talks about elders, bishops, deacons, pastors, presbyters, all as being men who fulfill the same office and all as serving in the local church. In fact, we see from Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 that Paul tells the young man Titus there that he had left them in Crete that he should set in order the things that were lacking and appoint elders in every city. Notice Paul says, "as I commanded you." That should answer the very first part of our question then. should men be appointed to serve as leaders in the church? The answer is yes, they should. These should be men who fit the qualifications of these elders, bishops, pastors, deacons, overseers, that are referred to here in the Bible. Paul had given that as a commandment, that they were to be appointed in every city. Now, some have concluded wrongly from this, that you are to have men who rule over all the churches that exist in a certain geographical area. But that is not what Paul intended. That he did not intend that is clearly seen when we see his command in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. Or rather, not his command, but his action. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. We see that when Paul went about and elders were appointed, that they were appointed in every church. From this, we clearly understand that these men are to be leaders of the local church, the church that met in that particular city. This means that elders, and by the way, elders are always referred to in the plural sense. It's never a case that the Bible shows us where a single man as the elder ruled over a church, nor is there ever an example in the Bible of a group of elders serving as overseers of more than one church. This shows us very clearly then that elders, a plurality of men, are to be appointed in each church, in each place, and they are to rule over that. Notice Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 says we are to remember those who have the rule over us, who have spoken the word of God to us, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. These men do have authority. They do have rule in the local congregation. Now, to what extent can that authority be exercised? If God has spoken on a matter, the Bible tells us what we should do, then that settles the matter. Man has no right to have any additional say. Man has no authority to change what God has already written and given to us. However, there are many decisions that need to be made in the local congregation that the Bible may not speak directly to. Probably does speak to them in principle, but it may not speak to them directly in the particulars of the matter. In those areas, these men who are elders have authority to rule. Their rule should be that which is based upon the Bible, an education from God's Word, and a thoughtful and prayerful life of service to God. But these men do have authority to rule. It's not just simply by their example. There is real authority there within the eldership. What then are to be the qualifications of these men? Since they are to have authority in the local church, this is something that is very important. If the wrong men were put into those places, the church could be greatly harmed. We see then that Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." As we've already noticed, bishop, elder, pastor, all of these terms refer to this group of men who rule over the local church. And if a man desires this work, he desires a good work. Then he gives us the qualifications that that man must have. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, but one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? He must not be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony of those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. These then are the qualifications that Paul gave through the young preacher Timothy. He gave a similar but shorter list to the young preacher Titus in Titus 1, beginning in verse 6. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. These qualifications indicate to us a man who is a mature, full-grown, and able Christian. There are really very few qualifications listed here that are different from what God would desire for every Christian man. One difference in this and a general Christian is that he must, of course, be a man. He must be a man who is married. He must be a man who has children, children that he has trained in the Lord and are believers. These are really, and he must not be a novice. These really are the only differences between this man and what God would have all Christians to be. We need to work to grow men who are like this. Men like this do not happen overnight. They do not happen by chance. But rather, we need to work to train, to encourage, and to grow men who will be able to serve in this great capacity as a leader for the local church.